Saints, in light of the recent overturning by the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade, a law that was passed in, I believe it was about 1970 or 72, that allowed for the murder of innocent children in their own mother's wombs. This was recently overturned, and make no mistake, the Supreme Court of the Universe did not overturn it so much as the saints of Christ, the saints of the Most High God, prayed, and God brought an end to this absolute horrific, barbaric slaughter of unborn children being murdered in their, this what is to be the safest place on the planet, their own mother's womb. And in light of this, in the wake of this, I don't believe there's any reason why, no good reason why, the filthy, demonic people who call themselves pastors today get off without being exposed for who they truly are and who they truly serve. And it's not God, because God calls this an abomination. Notice there are seven abominations, sins that are an abomination. That's the strongest word for hate in the Bible. And those seven things include, this is Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Those seven abominations include hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. And the curse of the Lord, not because I said it, but because the word of God says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Proverbs 3:33, they bring it upon themselves. I'm not pronouncing it on them, although if God wants to use any declaration of his word that comes out of his children's mouths to bring a further and a deeper curse on those individuals who are an abomination to him, let it be. Okay? So these are hands that shed innocent blood, and these doctors who murdered these babies and these absolute demonic witches who went and allowed their own baby to be murdered in their own womb. Unbelievable. And most culpable are the so-called priesthood of wolves in America today, the pastors so-called. And I'm going to call you out if you've been supporting any ministry that has not, for years, this has been going on for 49 years, and you are supporting a ministry that wasn't regularly coming out and calling this out for what it is. What does that tell us about you, my friend? This tells us that you are absolutely a lost soul that wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in your face. You're a complete counterfeit. Has your pastor, this wolf in sheep's clothing that you continue to bid Godspeed to, has he even mentioned the overturning of Roe v. Wade since it's been overturned? And by the way, it's too late now. Roe v. Wade was overturned, and has this pansy that you call pastor even mentioned it? Even if he has, it's too late now, because if he wasn't coming out against it with everything within him before that and for years, he is 100% without any exception an absolute counterfeit. And you are a counterfeit also, because you sat there and went to bed closing your eyes in comfort while precious little children, innocent babies, were being slaughtered. Their blood was being shed for no reason other than the selfishness, the abominable hatred of those involved, those hands shedding innocent blood, and the women opening their legs to allow their own baby to be torn limb from their limbs torn apart until they died and their skull crushed. You got to be kidding me. And you call yourself a Christian. and you continue to patronize this country club you call a church. God's calling you to repent. Repent before it's too late, because you don't know Him. You are a lost soul because you participated in this abomination by not requiring that pastor preach on it. Thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20:13, is one of the Ten Commandments. And it never bothered you enough. Never bothered you enough to confront or leave that false fellowship all those years when the pastor wasn't coming out in raging anointing with the Word of God against this abomination of shedding the blood of the innocent. That never bothered you enough to leave that false church. Unbelievable. What does that tell us about you? I've got my conclusion. I don't care what yours is. You're a lost soul. You need to get saved because you don't know Jesus who gives life. And you didn't care that the blood of these innocent, precious babies was being shed because you don't know the one who gives life at conception. See, the Bible says what you did is you bid God speed to and you were a partaker of the evil deeds of these filthy, wicked pastors that said nothing about this. Nothing. Why? Because they have a 501c3. Let's get a clue. Look up, just put in 501 on safeguardyoursoul.com on the search box and find out what they've done. They have signed over their loyalty and their allegiance to the state and away from the Savior. So the state tells them what they can preach, where they can preach, and where. There's three things: where they can preach, what they preach. I forgot the other one, but I think you get the point. And you see, you've bid Godspeed. You have supported, you've continued to patronize these spiritual whorehouses that refuse to call out the abomination of hands that shed innocent blood. You see, if that coward that you call pastor, let me repeat, has not been boldly for years, endlessly preaching against this national sin of murdering innocent babies, it clearly proves that you are a lost soul who has chosen to go to that false church that's the servant of Satan, who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, according to Jesus. Who's the author of death? It's Satan. And that's who you've been serving by bidding Godspeed, by being conducive with, by condoning and supporting a man that claims to be a Christian and a representative of Christ, and wasn't calling out for the end of the shedding of innocent blood. Now, there's a difference between self-defense and shedding innocent. Notice innocent. This is in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Shedding innocent blood. That's when you shed the blood of a baby or somebody that did you no wrong. Okay, that's a sin. Thou shalt not kill is directly defining hurting someone that's innocent, killing them. There's a difference. The Bible sanctions, Moses and Jesus sanctioned self-defense. Some people try to say, they try to say that all killing is unjustified. No, it's not. Any capital punishment, Genesis 9:6. For somebody who kills, they can be put to death. I'm all for it, by the way. And many of our states have this law where they put to death the murderers. Hallelujah. And if somebody breaks into your house, Exodus 22, 1 through 3, we have a Second Amendment. No, we have a God-given right that's codified, if you will, or agreed with in our Second Amendment of self-defense. And that comes out of the Bible. Exodus 22:1, the Bible says that If somebody breaks into your house and you kill them, you have no blood guilt. And as far as I'm concerned, if somebody breaks into somebody's house, what I care about doesn't matter, other than if it's the Word of God. But I would add my opinion to it. I agree with God. You break into somebody's house, you need to die. No lost sleep over it. Not a bit. Jesus said to his disciples, if you have two coats, sell one and buy a sword. Why would that be other than self-defense? Okay, that's why we have a Second Amendment. There's a lot of crime that is stopped by people just knowing that others have weapons. Okay? And I believe it's every 16 seconds or something, according to the NRA, a crime in America is stopped because of a good citizen who has a weapon. Amen. That's Luke 22:36, where Jesus says, if you have two coats, sell one and buy a sword. So self-defense is, just to delineate there, is sanctioned in the scriptures, Exodus 22:1-3 and Luke 22:36. Thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20:13. One of the abominations of the Lord is what? Hands that shed innocent blood. And yet you still go to a church, a so-called church that represents Christ, supposedly, but it's false. And yet they haven't been for years crying out against the murder of innocent life, innocent babies. The Bible says in Psalm 139:13-14, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in, where? My mother's womb. That begins at inception. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:13-14. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly. Notice before, the word before. Even before that Jeremiah, this goes for every human being, was formed in the belly. God knew us. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Wow. And before, see, so when somebody ends a life, murders an innocent baby in this case, their hands be swift to shed innocent blood. They bring a curse on themselves, as was mentioned earlier, but they are shaking their fist in the face of a holy God who is the judge of the eternal souls of every man. Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So God not only knows every one of us before we're even in our mother's womb, because God is all knowing, no matter how that came about, folks, even in sin, God foreknows all. And he knows the calling that he puts on every life to love and to serve him and his people. And anyone who comes between God and his plan and murders a baby brings the curse of the Lord upon their own life. Notice Exodus 21:22-23 says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, in other words, if two men get in a fight and they one of them gets thrown into the woman that's pregnant, so that her fruit depart from her. In other words, she loses the baby, and yet no mischief follow. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. So if the baby dies, thou shalt give life for life. So that's why even during the 49 years of this barbaric law called Roe versus Wade that allowed women, witches, evil people to go, and many times the men behind it, but even without the permission of the men, they were allowed to go. And see, that's why I wonder why women, these evil Jezebels of today, which is an insatiable evil, they never have enough until they have, you know, every man under their foot, literally, or put in jail, or they're never going to be happy. Okay, yet they claim not to have as many rights as men, yet they can go without the consent of the father and murder their baby. Unbelievable rebellion. So even during these 49 years of Roe versus Wade, the courts predominantly ruled that if you were drunk, for example, and you had a, you know, you were driving drunk and you hit a pregnant woman and you killed her and or her baby, that was two deaths, not one. So they honored that was a human life in the womb of that mother. Wow. So if mischief follow, Exodus 21, 22 and 23, then thou shalt give life for life. In other words, the death penalty shall come upon any person who causes the death of an unborn child. That's God's word on the matter. And that's where our laws were originally crafted from, for the most part. See, this is an amazing moment in the history of this country. And it's a testament that God answers prayers. The prayers of his saints. That's why this came about. And let me say this. So many times, such as in this instance, we think we need to get a lot of people praying. No, we don't need a whole lot of people praying as much as we need at least two individuals, because Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. And if they will pray in faith, in agreement with my word, I will do it. Matthew 18, right? 18 through 20. So this idea, you know, what happens when, let's just get a prayer chain. There's no such thing as a prayer chain in the Bible. Stop it. It's a bunch of witchcraft. What do you think prayer is? Some kind of a good luck charm that you're rubbing on or something? No, you pray in the name of Jesus. Do you have a revelation of the name of Jesus? Most people who claim to be Christians have no revelation of the name of Jesus. And how Jesus sent his disciples out to, in his name, that means in his authority, to cast out devils, to heal the sick. And that's what we see in an explosive fashion in the book of Acts, when the early church turned the world upside down in the name that is above every name. And that's the name of Jesus Christ, by which no man can be, without which no man can be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, that is, than the name of Jesus, given among men whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to study the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. So in this amazing moment when Roe versus Wade has been overturned, it's a bittersweet moment. Obviously, we've murdered in America 63 million babies. 63 million innocent babies were murdered between the time in the early 70s that Roe versus Wade was enacted until now. And like individuals, nations must reap where they have sown. We can be forgiven, but we must reap where we have sown. The beloved David, when he sinned, was forgiven when he repented, Psalm 51, but he still had to reap horrible consequences for his sin. And notice what God says concerning the judgment of nations, Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Doesn't that sound like what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah in the 19th chapter of Genesis? Absolutely. He plucked them up, if you will. He pulled them down and destroyed them. Verse 8, Jeremiah 18, if that nation, in other words, if he warns a nation, and if that nation against whom I have pronounced, in other words, judgment's coming, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant, in other words, God will forego his judgment. Just like when Hezekiah, I believe it's what, 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah, King Hezekiah was told that he was going to die to get his house in order. And he turned his head to the wall and repented. And God added, I believe it was 15 years to his life. Okay, so God says he will repent of the evil, the judgment that he's bringing on them righteously, that he thought to do with them if they turned from their evil. Verse 9, Jeremiah 18 says, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. He gives a promise to that nation, in other words, of good blessing and prosperity if they obey him. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good there wherewith I said I would benefit them. So you see, this is how God works. God looks at how individuals and nations are acting toward him presently. Okay, we see that throughout the prophets, including Ezekiel, where it says that if a righteous man, notice, turn from his righteous ways to do evil, in that day he will die. He will be separated from me. But if a wicked man turn from his evil way and becomes righteous, all of his sins will no longer be remembered. In other words, he's in right standing with God. And so God looks at, one of the things we see there, that's Ezekiel 33, 12, and 13, God judges people on where they are right now. You see, somebody in your life you might know committed a sin in the past, or supposedly committed one. You believe that, and you've just held them in this place of disdain. But yet they've repented, and now they're right with God, and you are now in sin for not forgiving them. That's one of the ways this is applied. Jesus told a woman taken in adultery that he did not condemn her like the wicked religionists. We got a lot of wicked religionists today, don't we? So Jesus told her, neither do I judge you. In other words, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. He completely and freely forgave her because she was obviously penitent. And the Lord saw that in his heart, in her heart, and forgave her freely. Freely you have received, freely given. Even as we have freely received of the grace of God, the mercy of God through Christ alone, not for any good of our own, because there is no good in us. We are to return and live out of that heart that's been saved by the grace of God through the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. You see, that is how the true abiding believers. See, a lot of people got saved, but only some of them are presently abiding. And let me just say this, according to Jesus and the prophets and the apostles, the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, only those who are born again and presently abiding in Christ, the five wise virgins of Jesus's teaching parable in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, only they are going to heaven. Okay, and they don't live out of judgment, they live out of grace. Even as they have been freely forgiven, They understand what that means, and they give out that grace and mercy to others. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 13 says, he shall have judgment without mercy. In other words, undiluted judgment that has shown no mercy. What is your attitude of heart concerning others? Okay, so the same way we see God judging nations is the same way he judges individuals. And here we see that if a nation, and it's the same again for individuals, will take heed to the warning of God and turn from their wicked way. Perhaps, you know, there are people in America, I'm just trying to play this thing objectively. God is God. I'm not him. I'm just one of his lowliest messengers, servants, and messenger means messenger of his written word, period. Perhaps God has seen that there are Christians that have repented, humbly approached him, turned from their wicked ways, and he's doing some measure of healing in this land, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. In the words of Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10, perhaps he has repented of the evil, if you will, or turned back the evil for now in the light of his those prayers which have come up to him through his repentant body. And there is going to be a turning back of evil. And I think this is plausible. You can email me info@safeguardyoursoul.com if you need to correct me, because I certainly don't want to put off anything that is not absolutely biblical, gentlemen. You know, over the last few years, the last 2 to 3 years in particular, myself and another dear sister in Christ have been sincerely praying, and we're both people that speak out about this out of the conviction of God in our hearts. You know, if you don't have conviction of sin, I should have said this earlier, you're not saved, man. You're to hate evil. We're to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. I'm not talking about this manufactured hatred to have to scream against evil just to try to perform on the external. I'm talking about knowing a God who is holy, holy, holy. And therefore, his conviction is in you concerning the evil that goes on or that you're tempted to do yourself and that goes on outside of you, such as around you and in this nation. The fear of the Lord, if you really fear God, you're not saved if you don't. The fear of the Lord is what? To hate evil, pride, arrogancy, in every evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So there's a holy hatred that stirs inside of those who are truly abiding in Christ. They hate evil, pride, and arrogance. Now, the way we go about that has to be in the wisdom and the Spirit of God, okay? Because we're evil ourselves, okay? And the only righteousness we have is of God. So that's not our message today. But we're to be angry and sin not, according to Ephesians 4. It's not a sin to be angry, but it is a sin. There are sins that can happen if you get angry and you manifest that anger the wrong way. Okay? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To what? To hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in and the evil way. That covers everything, doesn't it? And the froward mouth do I hate. Okay? That's what God has to say about evil. So in the last 2 or 3 years, we have been sincerely praying, and I knew it was the Spirit of God, by the way, in the name of Jesus. Again, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. 1 Samuel 14:6. In fact, in the case of Gideon, God had him eliminate literally tens of thousands of military men because the Lord didn't want the glory going to them for their great massive army, and whittled it down to 300. I want you to go back and read about the story of Gideon. I'm getting ready to release a message. It's in preparation soon on Gideon. It covers chapters 6 through 8 in the book of Judges. But God had that army whittled down to a mere 300 men who defeated what is probably tens of thousands, if not more, of the enemies of God. And so it doesn't take a lot of people. It takes just two people, just two, okay, that pray in faith, and mountains will be moved. Where two or three, just two or three. Why did Jesus say that? He had a purpose. We don't need masses of people. Just because you see sinners everywhere in America doesn't mean there's not a remnant of Christ elect. Okay? They're not visible to the naked eye all the time, and usually are not. But where two or more of them are praying in the name of Jesus, their whisper of faith is an earthquake in heaven. Don't ever underestimate the power of God when we pray. I don't like to say this power in prayer. I like to say God has all power, and He gave us access through the vehicle of prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." Meditate on that. Pore over that. John 14:13-14. And of course, as we prayed in the name of Jesus about all abortion ending, when there was not the slightest hint that there was anything coming with the Supreme Court or anything in the land, it looked like Roe versus Wade to the naked eye was never going to stop. We prayed, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, and before you know it, in fact, I had a preacher come against me for daring to pray that God would stop all abortion in this nation. Man, you talk about hit you from the, like, center punch you from the side and surprise you. But then again, nothing surprises us with all the wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, hopefully that brother has repented by now. But, I mean, he was rebuking me in a private message. I believe it was private, whatever. About calling for that the saints of Christ would dare to pray that God would end all abortion. We know this is His will. Why wouldn't we pray His will? That's my question. Okay, so this preacher came against me for daring to say, let's pray. See, the first thing we need to realize, we're taking something to God. In His mind, His mind's like all of ours in itself, it's puny. Okay, he thought, there's no way this is going to end. This is a Goliath. He was being like the brothers of David who gave up. They wouldn't stand up to Goliath because they weren't in the face of Christ, fellowshipping with him like their younger brother David, all alone in intimate, private prayer with the Savior, guiding the sheep, singing songs to the Lord. He stepped right in there and just knew the power of his God, and he was known of God and had an intimate relationship with God, and therefore he was able to go in and with one stone take out this giant. And that's what's happening today. God's people are daring to pray. In fact, speaking of, and right in the midst of speaking prophetically about this last hour in which we live, the Bible tells us in Daniel 11:32 that they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. God's going to use a few of his remnant who dare to believe him, to pray his word, which is his will, in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And God is going to shake this earth, and he is going to do mighty things. Daniel 11:32. Watch for it. And may God bless you and I to be a part of that number of his remnant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is almighty. Okay, that's what he said he is. He is the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. Any person who ever participated in voting for a demon-possessed communist abortion-legislating animal voted to murder innocent babies, and you have, my friend, the blood of innocent babies on your hands. You're 100% guilty in the eyes of a holy God, and God is calling you to repent at once. Repent. Abortion is murder. Abortion is the cold-blooded murder of an innocent baby. And judgment must begin at the house of God. dare we not allow this to go unaddressed, where you got all of these pastors, over 90% of them, that refused to call out for the end of the murder, the barbaric murder of innocent babies in this nation. They refused to even mention it. Why? Because they're building their own kingdom, their own church business. Okay, and they don't like to say anything that's going to bring conviction. They don't use the word repentance. They don't talk about the blood of Jesus. They don't talk about the holy fear of God. They don't talk about the cross, the crucified life, or judgment to come, or the absolute holiness of God, who is holy, 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 and his requirement to anyone who will be his to be holy as he is holy. These are things they're never going to mention. And you're just as guilty as them if you're still patronizing these false prophets and fueling and feeding these frauds, and you're going to be judged with them. That's what the Bible says. If you bid Godspeed to a false prophet, you're going to be damned with him. 2 John verses 10 and 11. Okay, but if you bless a true prophet in the name of a prophet, you're going to receive a prophet's reward. In other words, if you get behind the remnant who are standing up boldly with no fear of men, like the apostles of Christ and the prophets of God spoke out fearlessly, you get behind, you join them in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, you're going to receive a multiplicity of blessings, in particular the prophet's reward. You're going to be blessed with him, and you are going to go where he goes if you endure to the end. And the same is true for him, and that's going to be eternal glory. And that's verses or in contrast with those who bid Godspeed to those who are peddling a false gospel. And if he's not preaching against the sin of murdering unborn children, which is one of the seven abominations of God in Proverbs 6, then he's preaching another gospel. Because the gospel of Christ is in stark contrast and exposes the sin of murder. All murderers shall have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. One of the works of the flesh is murder. One of the Ten Commandments is against the sin of murder. Thou shalt not kill. And notice 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. In other words, among those who profess to represent Christ. And if it first begin at us, where does it begin? At us. What shall, and that's already begun, saints, and we're seeing it right now in the wake of the overturning of this evil law that allowed women to murder their babies in this country. And that's what we're talking about in this message. All of those absolute cowards who stood back and never cried out against the murder of innocent babies, the bloodshed of these precious innocent babies, the most precious thing on the earth are these precious little babies. How can you look into the eyes of a baby and not say there is a God? How? Are you that evil and hardened in heart? How can you sit there when a baby walks in the room with its parents and not stop dead in your tracks, whatever you might be doing, and say, oh my God, Jesus, you are so wonderful. How? How? How could you go to bed every night without any concern for that little precious baby being torn limb by limb in its own mother's womb? How? Tell me. I can tell you how. You are not right with God. If you are now, you weren't then. Because if you're right with God, this kind of sin absolutely righteously indignates your spirit and causes you to proclaim that that is a sin and to stand up boldly, no matter, even if you're the only one doing it, and declare it to be what God says it is, a sin. I believe it's Psalm 97:10 says, "Ye that love the Lord, you are to hate evil." Notice Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 10. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain," in other words, including the innocent babies in their mother's wombs, "if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not," you turn a blind eye, a deaf ear to what you know to be evil because you don't want to be bothered with it. Why? Because you're self-absorbed. You're not absorbed in the Savior in a oneness, vital union with Him in an abiding, born-again, blood-washed relationship. You're too busy serving the God of self. You're not right with God. You are a lost soul, regardless of whether or not you were ever saved in the past or not. You have fallen away if this is you. "If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider?" God knows this. He sees everything, guys. We can't hide anything from Him. "And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?" Does he not know that you have the wherewithal to speak out against something? Somebody says, "I don't have a lot of money." So what? Jesus and his apostles chose not to have a lot of money, but that didn't stop them from doing the will of God. It doesn't take money to do the will of God. You're speaking about everything else under the sun on your social media platform, and when you sit there at coffee or at the workplace, but you can't speak about the truth? Why? Who are you really serving? "And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? That's a rhetorical question. Of course God knows every thought and intent of our heart. "And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" God sees it. We can't hide it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. As we come in for a landing here, let me read a quote from the transformed wife, Sister Lori Alexander. Man, I don't know if you follow her on social media. I don't do a whole lot on social media other than preach, but this woman's got stuff that's worthy to be considered. It's absolutely amazing, most of it. She's teaching younger women, as the Bible tells women to do, in Titus 2, verse 3 through 5. She says this: "President Trump said in a debate against Hillary the devil Clinton, I might throw in there, that he would elect pro-life justices." This was back in before he was elected to the Supreme Court. And you know what? He did. Now, I'm not sanctioning Trump, by the way. I don't believe he's saved at all. I believe he needs to be saved. But he's a whole lot better than the alternative. And you're off your rocker if you don't see that. You got a screw loose. Okay. And by the way, I'm outspoken about some of the things he's done that were not right. But again, you know, you're comparing him to Satan's daughter Hillary and all these other demon-possessed child pedophiles. So there's no comparison. Anyway, he kept his word and elected Supreme Court justices. Why? Because God was going to hear, and he foreknew that he was going to hear the prayers of his saints to cry out against abortion, and he stopped it. But he was already preparing, okay, the ram in the thicket, Genesis 22. God will provide himself what it takes to do his will. And he foresaw that his people were going to pray, and he was already setting up the answer to that prayer by using a man that's not even saved, because God owns everybody, to set up pro-life justices in the Supreme Court. And God kept his promise. And Trump kept his promise also and set those men up in there. Any Christian, she says, that chose not to vote for Trump the last election due to his personality or something superficial, in other words, thought this was more important than saving the lives of babies. That's her opinion. I have to agree with that. Okay, Psalm 127:3, "Lo, children." And this is another sister, Raina. Her name's Raina. I can't see her last name too well. She said, "How should a woman think about the baby in her womb?" And here it is, Psalm 127:3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." They're an inheritance to us, people. Babies are not a burden, they are a blessing. And if you see them any other way, it's because you are evil. Yes, you. You're a filthy sinner who needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus before it's too late. That is the fruit of an evil, evil heart. And God looks on your heart. You can have all the religious outward stuff you want. You're going straight to hell when you die, and it's irrevocable. You better cut off the hand and pluck out the eye and cry out to God to break you in a million pieces till you have a heart of flesh and you're crushed to powder. Matthew 21:44. You're either going to fall on the rock himself, Christ, in repentance, or the rock of his judgment is going to crush you down into the bowels of eternal damnation, where you will burn consciously, world without end. Amen. Because that's the just punishment of a holy God upon wicked sinners who refuse to repent of their rebellion. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Every baby is special. Every baby is important. Every baby is beyond precious. Also, Sister Raina says, don't you just love virtuous, godly women? Is there anything more beautiful on the planet? No, than godly women, precious women who serve the Lord truly. They are the handmaids of the Lord. But what if the child will be born in poor circumstances? She says, as many ask. Therefore, and then she quotes Jesus in Matthew 6 about not taking heed. Notice here, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 6. She's quoting from another version. I don't like that, but let me read the real Bible, the King James. It's Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Now, she's talking about in a case where supposedly or the baby's going to be born in the poor circumstances through a poor parent or parents. And of course, there's always adoption. There's no excuse in any way. And God gives us so many reasons not to murder our own seed, the inheritance of the Lord. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be? How are we going to clothe this? I tell people, look, man, look, you can, I tell especially young men, I say, dude, don't you ever not have babies based on this evil thought that you can't afford that baby. Let me tell you, because of that baby, God's going to provide. If he does, if you don't believe he's going to provide for you, you can know that he's going to provide for that baby. That's his baby. And the miracle of that baby being born is going to come with the provision to be a blessing to that baby and raise him up. After all these things, do the Gentiles, the ungodly, those without God, seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God is going to provide, and he always has, and he always will. We finish 1 Peter 4 by verse 18. Let's make sure we got this one read to the audience. For the time, that's the audience is all of us. God is the one speaking. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the right, notice this, if the righteous scarcely be saved, those that were once righteous, the Bible says that some shall depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1. The love of many is going to wax cold, Jesus said, Matthew 24:10-13. And only those who endure to the end are going to be saved. So looking at this in the context of the whole of Scripture, he's saying the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. That's scary, and it ought to be scary. Are you going to be one of those who falls away because you don't remain in intimate fellowship with the great bridegroom of heaven, keeping your vessel full of His Word, crying out to Him daily in prayer, watching in prayer, which Jesus said many times, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. That's how you are a wise virgin believer. In Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins, 5 who fell away and 5 who remained in communion with the great bridegroom and made it into the eternal bridal chamber of heaven. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, take that how you want. I'm going to take it in context with Scripture. The righteous are scarcely going to be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's 1 Peter 4:17 and 18. Okay, and there was another one I was going to read. Look at this one as we close, Exodus 4:11. She says, Sister Raina, what about in cases of the child being born with deformity or disability? So the doctor looks at the sonogram and he sees that the child's deformed. So what are you going to do? Murder the innocent baby? Because it's a Down syndrome baby, or it supposedly might be, and many times the doctors are wrong? You got to be kidding me. You are more evil than words can describe. Exodus 4:11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So God says He is the creator, the maker of those precious little babies that possibly might be born blind, deaf, or dumb. And who do you think you are to decide that that child can't live? And let me say this, ma'am. That baby, if you're pregnant, is not your body. Okay, that's a separate, unique human being in the eyes of a holy God. And don't you dare even think about putting an end to that life. You're going to reap more horror on your own soul than can be described. Okay, saints, glad we had these moments together. May God bless us. May He unite our hearts to fear His name, as the psalmist prayed. And may He grant us to be so close to Him with sensitive conscience that we live out of a holy conviction for that which is right and that which is wrong in His holy eyes, according to His written word. And may all abortion in America stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And may every evil doer, child of Satan, who's trying to make concession to continue to allow babies to be murdered, let the curse of the Lord, Proverbs 3:33, that's His curse, destroy them out of the earth and remove them from the face of the earth, so that they're not used any longer by the Lord of death Himself, Satan, to corrupt and hurt anyone else, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Saints, it's been a blessing to spend these moments in God's Word with you. And remember, on safeguardyoursoul.com, there are many, many hundreds of others, episodes, podcasts at safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. Also, there is a bookstore available at all times on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you click the store button, it's there to serve you. And thank you for praying for this outreach, which is reaching tens of thousands of people each and every month with the Word of God. And to those that are supporting, we so appreciate your vital supply to this outreach. And also, we covet your prayers for fruitfulness, that we reach more and more people in this late last hour as we look so eagerly and diligently for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.